All right, Lakers' next preseason game coming up on Wednesday against the Phoenix Suns. Get to see Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Lot of good stories around the NBA. Curtis, we got a chance these last couple of days to see some players that have been injured for, you could say, a season. Some of them even more than a season. Let me start off with John Wall. Injured players making their returns, all right? So John Wall with the Houston Rockets now gets traded from the Washington Wizards, goes to the Houston Rockets. Missed almost 2 years because of heel and Achilles tendon injury. Achilles tendon injuries, and we got a chance to see him back. By the way, in his first game back, I didn't see what he's done since. 13 points, 6 of 10 from the field, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals when they played against the Chicago Bulls. Curtis, I don't know if you're a big fan or how much you followed John Wall in the past, but it's really, 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 really nice to see a player that has been out for that long have the ability to come back and still show that he can be productive.
Yeah, I was never really a huge Wall guy.
Oh. All right, we got technical difficulties. Technical difficulties right now. Okay, we'll get back to you, Curtis. We'll get back to you. I really do like the idea that a guy like John Wall, in the position that he's in, and it's not even like I'm not a huge fan of when he was in Washington. I wasn't, you know, a crazy fan of his game. He's a highlight reel. I'm a fan of watching a player who has been out for as long as he has get another opportunity. And by the way, John Wall's, he got paid, so he got his big contract. A couple other players I'm going to talk about as we go through the league is some of these other guys making their returns. Some of them have not had that luxury of getting a big contract. John Wall obviously got that contract. Another player for the Houston Rockets. How about DeMarcus Cousins? DeMarcus Cousins had 3 major injuries over the last few seasons. We know that. He was with the Los Angeles Lakers. Didn't get a chance to, you know, obviously shine with the Lake Show. He's played, this is his 4th team now, I want to say in the last 3 years, maybe 4 seasons, something along those lines. Seeing DeMarcus Cousins for the first time. How easy is it to root for a guy like DeMarcus Cousins because of his journey and what he's been through? Do you guys remember when he was with New Orleans, when he was with the Pelicans? Him and Anthony Davis, Rajon Rondo was on that team, Drew Holiday. That was a legitimate team. That was a good team. And there was a point during that season before DeMarcus Cousins got injured. And he was having an MVP caliber season. The question was never, is DeMarcus Cousins going to get a max contract? It's, okay, he's going to get a max contract. Where is he going to get that max contract? So you feel bad for a player like DeMarcus Cousins who, you know, unfortunately has not got that opportunity, unfortunately is still kind of playing for that next contract. So he's in Houston right now, hopefully more success, hopefully down the road. Michael and I were talking about this yesterday. If he was able to have a good season, then maybe a 3-year, $30 million deal down the road, maybe something like that. I mean, how great would that be? Okay, another top NBA story of a player. Curtis, you back or are we still don't got Curtis?
I don't know. Do I sound better now?
Yeah,
All right, there you go. All right, the other microphone died, so I'm just going to, if you need me, I'm going to be over here.
Okay, so stay with me for a quick second. Another player that made a return. Did you see Kevin Durant these last couple of days? He made his return now with the Brooklyn Nets. By the way, it's still weird to see him in a Brooklyn Nets jersey. How smooth is, I mean, just seeing those highlights. He played 24 minutes, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and KD is just one of the smoothest players in the NBA. How can you be 7 foot and do the things that he does? And he does them just so naturally, does them so smooth. KD makes his return with Brooklyn, coming off his, obviously long injury, long rehab. He said he was nervous for his first game. Now you got Kyrie Irving and KD together. Curtis, you get a chance to see KD at all?
That was the one return I was very excited to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, get ready, by the way.
It looks smooth. It looks great.
February, he'll be at Staples Center taking on the Lakers.
Yeah, maybe if he gets Kyrie to speak up too, though, that'd be nice too.
No, listen. Kyrie's not messing with no pawns. He's not messing with no pawns. I still don't even understand. I guess maybe I just didn't read too much into it. I don't even know what the beef is with the reporters and the media. I honestly don't know. I don't pay. There's certain things that I've just, I don't know. I try to figure out what's important to pay attention to and what's not important to pay attention to.
Yeah, and then today he answered questions apparently on like Instagram or something. I'm like, what are you doing? It's he's in his own world.
Kyrie sometimes gets in his own way. He doesn't need to. He's such a good basketball player. There's just things you got to do. That's part of the job. Maybe you don't like it. By the way, it's okay if you got issues with certain reporters or media. Call them out. If you feel like you got something that you need to call them out on, go ahead and do it. But at the end of the day, you're getting paid damn good money to sit in front of a microphone and a couple cameras and address the media when you need to. I didn't even know I was going into that. Steph Curry was the other player that came back. It's been great to see. Steph only played 5 games last season. He was off for about 9 months. Warriors were off for 9 months. And here's Steph Curry making his return as well. So it's good to see some of these players that, you know, at one time were all-stars, at other times they were finals MVPs, making their return. The league is at its absolute best when the best players in the world are obviously healthy. Good to see KD, good to see Steph Curry, DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, just to name a few guys that have come back from injury.
Can I just say I want to see Klay? I'm ready for I hope that gets better. I want to see Klay play again, too.
Let me tell you something. You know, Michael was referring to this a couple days ago, and we were having this conversation. The Golden State Warriors, and you know this, Curtis, before Klay got injured, I was on here saying I think the Warriors are a bigger threat to the Lakers than the Clippers. That's how high I put the Golden State Warriors. Of course, that has to do with Klay Thompson. You know, Klay Thompson's such an important piece to that franchise. Klay is such an easy player. You don't got to be a Golden State Warriors fan, and you don't have to work with Michael Thompson to respect Klay Thompson, right? Like his game, his style, the fact that he plays both sides of the floor, you easily can just enjoy. By the way, isn't he authentic? Isn't he real? Doesn't he feel?
That's what I was gonna say. He's, you know, yeah, he's a superstar. He's fit and all that, but he's a goof, and it makes everyone else like he's really relatable.
So comfortable
even in
with
weird
himself.
Moments. It's like, you know, it feels like you're hanging out with another person.
No, I couldn't agree more. That's a good man right there, and I'm with you. Hopefully he makes a return soon. Okay, another player I want to talk to as we go around NBA stories, top NBA stories. LaMelo Ball made his debut for the Charlotte Hornets, and he's playing. Actually, he played a little bit earlier today. Do you see some of those highlights, Curtis? See some of those highlights from LaMelo Ball?
I saw the first game.
The man.
I saw the first game, and I saw everyone complaining that he didn't score any points and saying he's washed.
Well, 10 rebounds and 4 assists. That's not bad for a washed player that only took 5 shots. By the way, had 4 turnovers as well. I'm rooting for the kid. I really am. I'm rooting for LaMelo Ball. I've been saying, I said it for a while, I'm rooting for Lonzo. I want Lonzo to have success. But the LaMelo Ball passes that he had, I think that was on Saturday night. I didn't get a chance to really see the highlights tonight. Just the fact that he gives some type of a spark to a franchise that has had absolutely no spark for so long, that's good. Because when Charlotte comes to play the Los Angeles Lakers, or the Lakers are going to go to Charlotte, we actually have something to talk about. And in the NBA, you need some storylines. And there's certain franchises that have not had storylines for a long time. I think Charlotte finally has a little bit of a storyline. I think LaMelo Ball is going to give them somewhat of a storyline. Now, you still got to also go out and produce and be effective and you know, obviously put your team in a position where he kind of grows. You know, we were talking about Talen Horton-Tucker and that there's no time right now to just let this kid develop. No, you're trying to win another NBA championship. But Charlotte's a perfect example of a franchise that can let these kids develop for as long as they need to, the next couple of years, whatever the case is. That's going to happen with LaMelo Ball, but it was cool to see him.
Melo also has a little bit of that. His passing is like magic, and where he can make the like loppiest dude look like a superstar. Because you can see that he made a lot of those young guys on Charlotte's team look really good.
Well, let's see what happens. You know, it's going to be these first couple of years for him will be, you know, an incredible learning experience, and we'll see what just happens from there. All right, top NBA stars. I got another one I got to get into here. James Harden has blessed us with his presence. James Harden, thank you for showing up to work. Thank you, James Harden. Supposedly, he had a good conversation with his coach, Steven Silas. Plans to play Tuesday tomorrow against the San Antonio Spurs. Listen, I don't know. I kind of got this feeling that eventually, he's going to get traded. Eventually, he's not going to be with the Houston Rockets. Let me play something, actually, from Adrian Wojnarowski. This was Woj on SportsCenter, and he's talking about James Harden still wants to be traded despite John Wall on the team.
I mean, Ashley, first, you know, professionally, It's basketball season. It's the right thing to do. And at his core, he loves to play. This is a guy who doesn't want nights off, plays a lot of minutes during the year. And certainly financially, the cost of staying away would be significant for a player of his salary, his stature. You know, but he's come into camp with the Rockets with an understanding, Ramona Shelburne and I are told, you know, with management, with ownership, that he is going to be a good partner with them, that he's going to be professional. Because if he wants that trade, and he does very much, what James Harden has to do is not become a distressed asset for the Rockets, make it harder for them to get full market value as they look for trades around the league. So he's there, he's reported for work, and one thing about James Harden, when the ball goes up, he plays.
All right, let's see what eventually happens with James Harden. But I tell you this, you know, this is just my own take on this, my own personal perspective. Not a fan at all. When you're in a contract and you just don't do – we were talking about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving not want to address the media. If you're James Harden, you want to get traded, come to work. If you're the Houston Rockets organization and franchise, James Harden is so by far the most important asset that they have on that roster, on that team. What do you think they're going to do? Just accommodate? Hey, you know what? Yes, you want to go to Brooklyn? No problem. We're not going to even ask for any assets back. You want to go to Philly? Sure. Forget Ben Simmons. You know what? You're better off if it's Ben Simmons, James Harden, and Joel Embiid all together. It's not the Houston Rockets' job to make sure to accommodate you when you want to leave that franchise. Now, it might be a little bit different if you're on an expiring contract. You got 3 years left on your contract. 3 years left. You have an option on that final year. So let's say two more guaranteed years with the Houston Rockets. You don't really have the leverage. I mean, if Houston wants you, if they want, and they want to trade you to a team that you don't want to play for, well, if those are the best assets they're going to get, too bad, you signed the contract. So if James Harden eventually leaves, and if, you know, and I wasn't expecting, well, John Wall's there, now he's going to want to stay. But if he eventually leaves, do it in a way where, you know, it's also respectable to both the franchise and the player. All right, one more topic I want to get into here in our top NBA stories. So we saw the Los Angeles Clippers for two games in a row. Is this just me? Maybe I'm blowing this out of proportion. Clippers don't, I don't know, something's missing again. I thought this was the second best team in the Western Conference. I know it's preseason. But they almost don't look like, Michael was trying to make this argument to me that he doesn't think they're the second best team in the Western Conference. And I'm adamantly saying, no, that's the biggest competition. Lakers is going to be the Los Angeles Clippers. Two preseason games, and you could tell there's still something missing. Take a listen to David Fizdale on the pressure the Clippers have to build some type of chemistry.
I think that, you know, T. Lou and the staff, they deserve a fresh start, mm-hmm. right? Because that's that he just deserves that because he's a championship coach. He's gone through all of the stuff you need to go through, and he needs to be able to put his stamp on this team. The pressure absolutely lies on those two guys. I mean, look at the amount that the Clippers have invested in having those guys here. The number of picks, you know, I still always come back to that kid, Gilchrist Alexander. Yep. I love him, right? Danilo Gallinari was a part of that deal, and they just paid him a 4-year monster contract. So I just think that with that investment, those two guys have to take this team to another level. And I think what will be a big difference for them this year is, can Reggie Jackson play at a high level as a point guard and really fill that position that they need? Because that's the one place I think everyone has said the Clippers have needed to improve. So we'll see what Reggie can do in that position, and can he make other people better around?
Clippers might be in trouble. They don't look that much better than they did, you know, last season, and there really isn't these big acquisitions where you think, okay, well, this is going to be earth-shattering. And I'm talking about from a chemistry perspective. The talent is there. We'll just see how it all plays out. But first two preseason games, I'm like, they look okay. They don't look like anything special at all. We'll find out December 22nd, Lakers and the Clippers. Opening night, we'll have a much better gauge of what that team is. And it's probably going to take 30 days, 60 days, something along those lines before we really know. All right, there we go. There's our top NBA stories right there. Laker fans, I got a quick little question for Laker fans out there. Between LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who's more likely to get an MVP this upcoming season? LeBron or AD? Talk about that coming up next. 877-710-ESPN. I got everybody hitting me on Twitter on who their closing five is. I'll read some of that. Brian Windhorst still coming up at 8:30. Thank you for being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, Curtis, Taylor Norton-Tuck reminds me a lot of me when I was 20. I see a lot of resemblance there. More when he was sitting on the bench and he wasn't getting PT, when he wasn't getting playing time. Okay, so Lakers' next game coming up on Wednesday. So yesterday in the pregame show, head coach Frank Vogel talked about how he's hopeful that LeBron and Anthony Davis may get some playing time in tomorrow's or Wednesday's game. No guarantees, but that could be the thought process there. Can we get them some PT before we get into the final preseason game? Then you get more minutes in game four, and then, you know, a couple days rest. They'll go through their practices. I'm sure just because LeBron and Anthony Davis are not playing in these actual games, they're obviously in the practices. This is part of training camp. But you're reduced. You used to play 8 preseason games. Now you're down to 4. I know with the way the schedule has been adjusted, it's down to 6 in a regular season, but in COVID, it's only 4. So we should expect LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I think, in these last two games to get some kind of playing time so that there is we get a chance to see them before the Lakers take on the Clippers to start the season. So that's hopefully the idea there. So this is, by the way, this is ridiculous that this is going to be my topic, but this is where we are in life. Lakers are this good, and they got the two best players in the NBA. And I don't say that just throwing that around loosely. I think they really are number one and number two. Like, if you said, hey, would you rather have Giannis Antetokounmpo or Anthony Davis? I would rather have Anthony Davis. And I don't really care that Giannis won MVP. I think he's got holes in his game that certainly come postseason, and that's not to say AD doesn't have holes, because when he was in New Orleans, it's not like he was going to the, it's not like they were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference or whatever the case is. But when I say it's kind of ridiculous, the topic that I'm about to bring up is, who's more likely to get an MVP this season, LeBron James or Anthony Davis? It's not ridiculous in the substance. It's ridiculous in the fact that it's a real question. That's not. ESPN did their ranking recently of the players. They ranked, I think, I don't know how many, maybe the top 100 or something like that. Number one and number two was LeBron and AD. LeBron was one, AD was two. I think Giannis was three. I want to say Luka was four and Kawhi was five. So that was their top five ranking. So when I say who's more likely to get MVP, I'll tell you who I want it to be. Who I would like to see, and I've mentioned this before, and I'll probably mention this throughout the season. You know, I'd love nothing more than 30 games from now, I'm doing a post-game show, and I'm ranting and raving about AD right now as the front-runner for most valuable player. He's playing the best in the NBA. You can't stop him on the offensive end. He's the best player on defense. I really, really hope that I'm having that conversation, and that's not unrealistic. That can very well happen. The expectations are there. Anthony Davis is 27 years old. He's walking into his freaking prime. He just got an NBA championship. He just got a 5-year contract with the Lakers. He's an amazing basketball player. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So as much as I think AD's game will continue to evolve and playing into consideration where he is with his age, as much as you can say that LeBron has to slow down at some point, right? I mean, doesn't he have to slow down at some point? This is his 18th year in the NBA. He's played the equivalent of 3 additional seasons if you total up all the playoff games that he's played in his career with Cleveland, Miami, and the Los Angeles Lakers. As much as it doesn't make sense LeBron can still be the best player in the world. If I had to pick who's more likely to get an MVP this season, LeBron or Anthony Davis, I would still go LeBron. You know, when I make the argument and the conversation that I'd love for it to be Anthony Davis, but I just don't know how you pick against one of the greatest to ever do it. And not just one of the greatest to ever do it, he's still doing it. You know, I think that's the part that is mind-boggling for me, and I don't have to preach to Laker fans about this, but you guys saw him last season. You saw what happened when LeBron James would go try to take a 3 to 5 minute breather. Everything changed. You saw when LeBron was on the court, the way the ball was moving. You saw the way he was dissecting defenses, and whether he was doing it by leading the NBA in assists, or he was finding ways to get to the basket and play bully ball, or he was throwing lobs to Anthony Davis. I mean, it really, really is beautiful, beautiful basketball. So when I ask myself that question, when I ask myself the question of who's more likely to get an MVP this season, LeBron or Anthony Davis, it's crazy to say it, but it's how I really feel. I still think LeBron's the front runner again. Now, for the organization and for the future, at some point that baton is going to be passed. At some point, LeBron James, whether he hands that thing off to Anthony Davis or AD, says, "You made it happen. Now it's my time to make sure that I can could put more weight on my shoulders to try and win an NBA championship or go back-to-back, or who knows where the Lakers will be in a year or two from now." I mean, you even heard Stu Lance mention this. I asked Stu a similar question. What's next for Anthony Davis? What are areas he's got to improve on? It got quiet. I think Stu was like, what do you want me to tell you? The guy's already unbelievable. How much more, what more do you want to see from the guy? But he will get better just simply because of his knowledge of the game. That's what's, from a skill set perspective, he is what he is, but his knowledge of the game and his experience in the game and playing with guys like LeBron and Rondo like he did last season, he'll obviously continue to get better on that front as well. All right, let me read off a couple tweets here. So I put out the question about a closing five for the Lakers. And let me read off some of these here real quick, all right? So you can hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. And you could also hit me on Instagram, at Alan Sliwa as well. When we're done with this show, by the way, we're going to do about a half hour, another Lakers talk show, just on social. So on ESPN Los Angeles, on YouTube, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa, Facebook, all that stuff. So similar to this show, but we'll do it just for social. If you want to be a part of that show, make sure to join us on all the ESPN Los Angeles accounts. Okay, so I got about 14 people on here that just keep putting THT. So they want their closing five to be Talen Horton-Tucker, I guess, to play all the positions. All right, Cheeks on Twitter. That's a great handle. Gasol, AD, Braun, KCP, and Caruso. Manny Del Rosario, LBJ, AD, AC, KCP, and Keith. Let me read off one more here. And Tanner Ritchie, Wes Matthews, KCP, Braun, AD, and Gasol. If you go through this, by the way, and there's maybe 30 different comments on here right now, I'm not kidding that there are maybe 10 to 15 different scenarios of a closing five. And why do I even bring that up? I only bring that up because that just shows the amount of options that coach is going to have this, you know, this season. That just shows how ridiculously deep the Los Angeles Lakers are. And over the last, I had a guy hit me on Twitter yesterday and said that, Alan, please don't be a homer. Because I think I had put on there, I think the Lakers, I said they're stacked. And he said, don't be a homer. How am I being a homer when it's just the reality of the predicament that the Lakers are in? I got no problem criticizing if that's what you have to do. That's part of our job. That's where you're really going to find out a lot from somebody who's analyzing the team. Praise them when they deserve to be praised and criticize them when they deserve to be criticized. How can you criticize the organization right now or the roster right now? You can't really find many holes in them. And that's where we are right now. Brian Windhorst coming up next. We'll get a chance. Obviously, Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN. I want to make the conversation with Brian. I got some Laker questions for him, but then I want to get his thoughts on just the NBA as a whole. I'll ask him about the Clippers as well. What other teams are threats in the Western Conference? So all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA for ESPN. Nice enough to give us some time here. Brian, hope you and your family are doing well and they're doing safe. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Okay, so look, I know we're just two preseason games in here, and I know that these games don't count towards the standings, but I think there's been some interesting storylines that come out. I'll just ask you, Brian, last season there was a lot of chatter around the Lakers and the Clippers going into the season, and obviously we all thought they were going to face each other in the Western Conference Finals. Do you still think those are number one and number two in the West, or do you feel the Clippers are falling off that number two, I guess you can say, a pillar that they were on?
Yeah, from a talent standpoint, they're one and two, and the Lakers' depth should be just so much better this year. So it's going to be an uphill battle for the Clippers because, you know, the Clippers' real advantage, I just felt on the Lakers last year, was their versatility and their ability to go deep and play a whole bunch of different ways. It did not play out like that. And now it's the Lakers who not only have the star power, but also have incredible versatility on their roster because of the additions that they've been able to make just by getting another transaction cycle, being able to use their exceptions and add to the depth of their team. So, I think the most important thing as ever is going to be health. The Clippers have a more unique chemistry problem, which I think it's interesting that the Clippers organization really downplayed their chemistry issues that they had last year. And in fact, when occasionally there were reports about it, the Clippers kind of pushed back on it pretty aggressively, the players themselves and the organization. And now we see months later that everybody was admitting that there were chemistry problems, and imagine what they're not admitting. And so when you look back on last season, when you really take an analysis of what went on, not only did the Lakers play just terrifically within the bubble, but their chemistry as a team ended up being a massive difference. And they never played each other, so it really didn't matter. But you look at a way the team was assembled sort of on the fly, the way the Lakers were, and the way they were able to have chemistry versus the Clippers, and you really see the difference there. And that'll be a challenge again that the Lakers are starting off on a good footing.
Well, I think, and I remember this last season, having you on the show, you talked about how you thought this past offseason, Lakers could actually be more dangerous, and this was before they won a championship. So you thought the chances of winning this upcoming year would be greater just because they'd have a little bit more time, kind of work on the roster, and you hit it on the head there. They did. They definitely got better, I think, this offseason. They got deeper. I'm curious to get your thoughts out of the moves the Lakers made, whether Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, of course, Marc Gasol, Wesley Matthews as well. Out of those moves, which one do you think will be the most important or the key move or the best move that you thought the Lakers had in the offseason?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I liked their smaller moves. I mean, I thought getting Wesley Matthews, I mean, they got him right after a start of free agency. And, you know, considering that, you know, he was in an income bracket that, you know, a lot of teams could have afforded him, I thought that was a terrific signing out of the gate. And I think that he will be a guy that, you know, can help you win a playoff series. And, I know that, you know, getting Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, one of the reasons why I'm excited about those players isn't just what they can bring, but now the Lakers have trade assets, not only just this year, but if they re-sign those guys for next year, they now have stuff to trade. Alan, as we talked about from the day of the Anthony Davis trade onward, one of the things I was worried about is the Lakers' trade assets, the ability to improve the roster. Well, now they really do, in my view, whether these guys work out or not. They have built some stock, basically, that they can use and trade. And I know that's not what you want to talk about in the preseason of these guys' first time together, but I thought that was important to get. You know, the Lakers will now be available to do some stuff, whether those guys work out or not. And that's why, you know, that, you know, using those assets and using, you know, building up that asset base is so important. And if you look at, you know, the teams that LeBron has had, the teams where he's been able to go to the finals 3, 4, 5 years in a row, a lot of the ways he were able to do that was refreshing those teams through the trade market, which now that the Lakers are going to be able to do.
Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN, joining Lakers Talk. Brian, as we look at this upcoming season and LeBron and Anthony Davis, we haven't got a chance to see yet. We most likely one of these next two preseason games against the Suns, we'll finally get to see him. When this Lakers lineup is full strength, when you see the depth of some of the players that you just mentioned, whether they got it in the offseason or they're just still on the team, Markieff Morris, KCP, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, you go down the list of some of these other role players for the Lakers. Is the entire NBA, and I think this one, when you look at the Eastern Conference as well, it seems like everyone's chasing the Lakers. How far do you think the Lakers are from the rest of the pack right now, or do you think there's some of those teams in the Eastern Conference are not that far off?
Well, let me just say, I didn't mention Markieff Morris earlier. Getting Markieff Morris back at the minimum was a terrific signing. And, you know, I don't know how much of an impact he'll have as the season goes along, but the value of that signing is just amazing. You know, for Marcus Morris to get $60 million and Markieff to get
unbelievable.
$2 million, it's very strange. They've sort of been off their whole career. I feel like one or the other has been overvalued or undervalued their whole career. That's sort of transversed a little bit. It's kind of strange. You know, one of the things that we saw last year is the devastating combination that LeBron and AD are. And the way LeBron was so invested in making sure that AD was comfortable, making sure that he was going to be successful. And one of the things I think LeBron talked about it on the Road Trip and podcast, which I definitely felt was true, was how LeBron pressed AD to deal with and play through injuries last year. He did a similar thing with Kyrie Irving. You know, one of the things that happened, now Kyrie Irving has obviously had injury issues throughout his career, but when he got to Cleveland, he really was able to get Kyrie to adjust the way he looked at games and sort of pushed him to play through injuries a little bit. And, you know, you got to be careful with this guy. He's a prized possession. I'm not saying you're going to run him into the ground, but that is the kind of thing that LeBron can do to help take a player to the next level, especially a star player. And the point I'm making is that when you see Anthony Davis respond to that, and you see Anthony Davis respond to LeBron's, you know, position change and stuff like that, it just deepens the bond. And so if they're going to be bonded like that, you'll see the role players around them come in and out, and you know, you can get excited or you know, disillusioned with those players as time goes. You get those two players, you know, invested in each other's success like that. You know, this could be a situation where you have a special run. I do think the Eastern Conference is strong. I think there's going to be a lot of depth there, but I don't see a team that instantaneously has, you know, the firepower to take down the Lakers guaranteed. I think the Lakers will feel pretty good about their chances if they're healthy against anybody.
Brian Windhorst taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Lakers taking on the Phoenix Suns. That's coming up this Wednesday. It'll be preseason game number 3 for the Lakers. Brian, you know, we come off the Orlando bubble. No positive tests once things got started inside of the Orlando bubble. And now, obviously, a completely different circumstance. Teams are playing in their arenas. They will be traveling. How much of a challenge do you think it's going to be to get through the next few months, and just your overall thoughts on how the NBA is positioned right now to get through and kind of get things rolling with the regular season?
Alan, we just really don't know how it's going to go. I would expect early on in the season for there to be some stops and starts. The question will be, will any team have to shut things down for their whole team and potentially miss games? You know, that is what has happened for college basketball. That is what obviously has happened for college football. In the NFL, they've gotten through it, but, you know, barely. And so I think the most important thing, I mean, the NBA would never admit this, it really wants to start the season. It wants that opening week. And if there's some disruption, as long as everybody, you know, can handle the virus, as long as, you know, the second half of the season, my guess is that there's going to be a vaccine that's going to be available to the NBA players. I think Dr. Fauci said today that he expects even people without pre-existing conditions to hopefully have the virus by late March or early April. And I really, honestly, I know that this is, you know, the NBA has to be careful how they do this, but my guess is that they would probably have access to it before that. So, as long as you're healthy and safe by the playoffs, that's what you're looking for. Here's the thing that nobody really wants to talk about. A huge amount of percentage of the NBA players have had this virus. They have announced around 110 people have tested positive when combined with their season restart and in the summer and then this training camp. And there have been at least double. And to be honest with you, some people I talked to, some trainers and team executives, think that it's 40 to 50% of the league has had this. Mm. Now, we don't know. I'm not a doctor. We don't know what antibodies mean. We don't know if they wear off. But the NBA may head towards herd immunity faster than your average population. Now, that's not the case necessarily with coaches and staff members. I think the NBA has some reason to believe that they will be able to get through this period. And there's even some health officials out there, and I know that this is very controversial, and I'm not saying that the NBA is looking for this, but there are even some health officials out there who believe, and if they've gone on the record, people from Harvard and Yale and stuff have gone on the record saying that there might be an advantage to giving pro athletes the virus or the vaccine first as to show that it's safe to the public. Not first as in right now, but, you know, move them up in the line. And that's obviously going to be very delicate, but if you're the NBA, you're going to try to hedge and judge on that and just try to get through it.
Brian, last one for you. You know, this came up yesterday. Michael Thompson and I doing the pregame show before the Lakers-Clippers game. Has this been a conversation at all amongst executives or GMs or anything like that? Just, I know the schedule is first 37 games are released, at least from the Lakers' perspective, and then you'll get the second half of the schedule later. How do you think teams will approach these regular season games where there are no fans, there is no home court advantage? Yes, there is travel, and yes, the arena does have a certain color representing the home team. Do you think teams are paying attention to, okay, well, 6 months from now, if it is playoff time, and like you mentioned, the vaccine is more widespread, and now all of a sudden fans are starting to trickle into arenas, maybe it's 25%, maybe it's 50%. That could have an impact, obviously, on some of these postseason games, playoff games, home court, and everything else. Is that something that is being talked about? Is that something that's important right now? Or is a lot of the conversation more about just trying to get through where they are right now?
You know, Alan, no one's looking that far ahead. I think in general, the teams are trying to make the best decisions for what's in front of them for the short term. And, the Lakers coming off of a 71-day offseason have a different set of, you know, priorities than the team that hasn't played since last March, for example. And there are some teams that are like, listen, we're not going to be able to give our rookies a lot of development and playing time because we have to play our veterans from the start and get them ready. Whereas you have other teams who are like, we're going to play our rookies a lot from game one. So I don't think there's going to be a one-size-fits-all. And I also think that you could spend weeks coming up with the greatest strategy, and this whole thing is going to be curveball after curveball. Again, ultimately, I think what you're looking for, especially if you're a contending team like the LA teams, is when we get to the back end of this thing, when we get to the last part of the season and the playoffs, are we going to be healthy? And I think if you are, you'll have won that part of the race.
Brian, thank you, my man. Always appreciate your insight. Always good to It's crazy these last, you know, you could say 6 months, just how different the topics have been, and nothing's really changing from that front. It seems like every single day new angles are coming out, but it's good to see that the players are back in the arenas, and always appreciate your perspective.
Thanks, Alan. Have a good week.
All right, that's Brian Windhorst right there. Great show today. By the way, you miss any part of the show, Stu Lance came on in the 7 o'clock hour, Brian Windhorst in the 8 o'clock hour. We got still some more Lakers talk to go. Stay right here. Greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Whether you're tuning in on 710 and you're driving around Southern California or listening on the ESPN app or on iTunes, we thank you very much for doing it. Lakers talk on 710 ESPN. Monday night football game just ended. The Baltimore Ravens beat the Cleveland Browns 47-42. Safety at the end there ended the game. What a fantastic game. That was going on in the background. Okay, one thing I got to get into real quick here. So I'm tagged on a tweet earlier today, and apparently Steve Mason has pardoned me. I had to kind of fully understand this, comprehend. So I guess they're pardoning certain folks on the air. And Mason pardoned me on the hot dog eating contest. He said he's pardoning me cheating. Curtis, I don't know if how knowledgeable you are in the pardoning game, but I had to do a little research. What if you don't want to get pardoned? So that's the research that I did, and I've come to the conclusion that if he is pardoning me, if he was the president and he was pardoning me, I would not accept his pardon, because then I would be admitting something that I did not do, which was cheating.
You know, I was there that night after you won.
Yeah.
We were doing a show after that.
That's right.
And I had to make a lot of very long breaks because you had to get rid of the hot dogs. So
yeah, there was nine hot dogs.
I was there.
Yeah.
I think Mace just needs to gracefully accept that he lost.
Let me just tell you something. This is the best part of it. So I'm like literally researching, well, wait, what if I don't want to accept his pardon? So I guess I do have an angle here where I do not have to accept the pardon. And if that means I got to be in the slammer for longer, that I'm okay with that. As long as I know I'm good when I put my head on the pillow at night, I had nine hot dogs. I can't have any more. You're not. That's one of those where let's just say you're not BSing eating nine hot dogs. So I do not accept the pardon. That's all. That's all I got.
I think the votes were cast, and him and all his listeners need to accept the result that you won the hot dog eating contest. Better luck next time.
Man, that show. Some of their segments they do. They say bits, right? You got to have bits. Let's just say those guys know what they're doing. They've been doing it for a long time. Okay, so this conversation came up, and I don't want to say I'm late to the game on this one. I just didn't pay too much attention to it, but I saw it a little bit earlier today. David Fizdale had some comments on Pau Gasol and on potentially Pau Gasol joining the Los Angeles Lakers. Let me say this real quick, and I'm going to give my thoughts on it, but Marc Gasol was asked about this because there was a story last week on ESPN. Pau Gasol talked with Zach Lowe, and the conversation had come up, and this is the bottom line with Pau Gasol. He's 40 years old, and his body is not, you know, he's trying to see if he can get himself back from a health perspective just to have that opportunity to potentially play again in the NBA. Listen to David Fizdale.
Yeah, I think this would be perfect. He's a Laker. He's won championships with the Lakers. His brother is there. For them, I know what that would mean to Mark. And the fact that they got a chance to win titles together, I don't think his age is going to be a big factor because they're not going to be asking a lot of Pau. And they know what he brings as a professional, and he's going to keep himself ready if they need to put him in a game. But I just think the overall holistic view of it, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
All right, that's David Fizdale, who was on the jump a little bit earlier today. If you got a thought on this, you can feel free to call into the show, 877-710-ESPN. If Pau is healthy, would you like to see Pau Gasol on this Lakers roster, potentially end his career with the Los Angeles Lakers? And, you know, one of the things I spent some time, if you want to comment on that, you can feel free to call into the show or hit me on Twitter at Alan Sliwa. One of the things that I spent some time on, probably not enough time, you know, the Lakers' bigs this year, it is different. What Montrezl Harrell and what Marc Gasol will bring on a night-in, night-out basis, it's going to be different than what JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard were doing last season. You know, I've tried to think about, out of all the players the Lakers did not bring back from the offseason. Rondo, Danny Green, Avery Bradley, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee. Out of all those players, which player do I think that the Lakers will miss most? I see a lot of people talking about Dwight Howard. A lot of people kind of their thoughts and their comments were, man, it would have been really nice to have this roster and Dwight Howard. It would. This is the Lakers, you know, we're complaining about a backup center, but that's they don't have many holes, so you try and find a hole. That would be the one hole that I would say. So in a roundabout way, whether I'd like to see Pau Gasol end his career with the Los Angeles Lakers, let's say hypothetically, Pau Gasol is healthy. Let's say hypothetically that Pau Gasol at age 40 has the ability to, you know, his body's been tested and he could kind of sustain. And David Fizdale, the point that he was trying to make was, well, really, how much are you going to need Pau Gasol if you're the Los Angeles Lakers? You're going to need him in small little stints. And yes, he could play with Marc Gasol and everybody can sing Kumbaya together. My one take on this is when you're trying to win an NBA championship, every single move that you make could be the difference, and I don't care how deep that roster spot is, could be the difference of winning a championship or not. I think, you know, Markieff Morris, the Lakers got in the buyout market, and I don't know how much people paid attention to that, but I thought it was so big, and he ended up being a really, really important asset for the Lakers that gave them this flexibility that, you know, they didn't have without him. So even a small move like Markieff Morris, it could be the difference of winning a championship or not. So when you're in a position where it's about going potentially back-to-back and LeBron James trying to get a second championship with the Lakers and Anthony Davis as well, and Lakers trying to get 18, you're not really looking to make moves that are more for storylines, or you're not looking to make moves that are the fan base's best interest because Pau has won championships with the Lakers in the past. I don't really look at it from that perspective because this is not a franchise that is in a position to look at it from that perspective. All that matters to them right now is, can we get championship number 18? Can LeBron have two NBA championships 3 years into his 5-year contract because he got that 2-year extension? So that's how that's the position that the Lakers are in right now. But I will say, Pau Gasol is Pau Gasol. And he is one of the smartest basketball players, highest IQ players. And he is a 7-footer. And you would be using him in a very, very small capacity because it's not like you need him there on a night-in, night-out basis. I love Pau. Pau's one of my favorite players. With the Los Angeles Lakers. Pau was such a critical piece to those two championships with the Lakers in 2009 and 2010 with the great late Kobe Bryant. And one day, Pau Gasol is going to have his jersey up in the rafters at Staples Center, and it's going to be a special moment, and I'm sure a special moment not just for Pau, but for a lot of Laker fans out there because they love and appreciate Pau so much. So I think for me, it just comes down to one thing, and it's very, very simple. If he can be an asset to helping win a championship, you do it. If he can't, then it's okay to say that, no, this just does not make sense at this stage of where the Lakers are. I made this comp a little bit earlier. We're talking about Talen Horton-Tucker and his development. You can't try to develop Talen Horton-Tucker this year because you're just not in a position to do that. You're not in a position to say, well, let's help him develop. Now, if he's ready and he's an asset for the Lakers and that development is also taking place, then that's okay. It's a different story. So we'll see what happens with Pau Gasol and if he gets that opportunity. If it does happen, it does. If it doesn't, that's okay. Marc Gasol in that Zoom call a few days ago talked about how it's going to come down to his health, and if his body allows him to do it, great. And if it doesn't, you know what? What a great career Pau Gasol obviously had in the NBA. Lakers taking on the Phoenix Suns coming up this I'm going to actually just see here. I got to make sure on the time here. I don't want to give the wrong time here. So Lakers taking on the Suns this upcoming Wednesday. So it's a 6 p.m. tip-off. 4:30 is going to be the pregame show. Are we going to finally get a chance to see LeBron James and Anthony Davis alongside Dennis Schroeder and Marc Gasol and Wesley Matthews and Montrezl Harrell? There's a good chance that we might get that opportunity. Head coach Frank Vogel yesterday talked about how it could happen for Game 3, and then some more playing time in Game 4 as you prep for the Los Angeles Clippers coming up on December 22nd. So I know there's a lot of Laker fans excited on that front to see LeBron and AD. And then I have some curiosity of what coach will do with Talen Horton-Tucker these next two games. He's been the talk of the preseason. I mean, even on ESPN, go to ESPN.com, ESPN.com, and small little website, small, there, startup out there. Go to ESPN.com, and yesterday, I'm you know, just go to your NBA stories, and there's Talen Horton-Tucker, 33 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, he really, really has been the talk. The all post game yesterday, whether it was Marc Gasol, KCP, head coach Frank Vogel, or Talen Horton-Tucker was a part of that conversation as well. Every single one zeroed in around Talen Horton-Tucker. So we got two more games to get a chance to see some of these young players, some of these new Los Angeles Lakers that just started being a part of the team. And then also, hopefully, we'll get the chance to see Anthony Davis and LeBron James here coming up as the Lakers get ready to take on the Clippers on December 22nd. Okay, so a couple other plugs I want to get into real quick. Tomorrow, I will be actually sitting right here again. I'll fill in for the Scott Kaplan show tomorrow. Kaplan will be on earlier in the day. Kaplan will be on filling in, I think, for Sedano on the Sedano and LZ show. So tomorrow we'll get back on the mic. Wednesday, of course, we'll do pregame and everything else. But I want to throw out a quick reminder to Laker fans out there. If you want more Lakers talk, we're going and doing another half hour on social. So on ESPN Los Angeles with Twitter and Twitch and Periscope and YouTube and all of them. And Curtis and I still have MySpace accounts. We're going to do it on MySpace as well. But we're going to go do another half hour. If you missed any part of Lakers Talk, ESPN app or on iTunes, download the full 2 hours. Stu Lance and Brian Windhorst were nice enough to join the show. Curtis, thank you for everything. Laker fans, thank you for being a part of the show. We'll get back at you tomorrow. Have a great night.